Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad, or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Mache. What's everybody doing? Hi, Angie. Hey, Terrence, Tamara, One Radiance. Welcome, everyone, in the chat that's getting in there. Chat got opened a little later today, so bear with if you're not able to get in. Just trust and reboot. Trust and reboot. Isn't that life? Trust and reboot. Happy Wednesday. Happy Awakenings Community Day. Hi to everybody listening later in the archive. Big hug to you. Hi to everyone listening via iTunes, TuneIn Radio, FM Player. And thank you all also, once again, that have been leaving the amazing, wonderful, heartfelt feedback on the iTunes page, Awakenings Radio, iTunes page, Awakenings with Michelle Mache. Really means a lot, those of you that take the time to do that. I look every now and then. And last time I looked, there were some new reviews, and love seeing that. Love seeing people giving a shout out back, a little hello, a little hug. A little hug through the words, so much appreciated. Get my tea right now. So we are going to be diving in. I'll be answering questions and doing readings. If you have a question, a comment, if you'd like to chat, hit me at 347-539-5122. That's 347-539-5122. And press pound 1 on your keypad, and that gets you in queue. That lets me know that you want to get on, you know, on air. Because we do have quite a few people that listen by phone while they're at work, and they don't want to be disturbed, or they don't want their supervisor and boss in their face. I still love the story. You know who you are. That is a techie and listened with your earbuds, with your hoodie on. Gosh, and how about, oh, gosh, you know who you are, riding your bike in Hawaii listening. Then we had the person that listened while vacuuming. We have a taxi cab driver in New York that listens on a little makeshift speaker. And let us know. We did this a long time ago, a few years ago, but I always get tickled. Either leave it on my Awakenings with Michelle Mache page on Facebook. You can put it on my profile page also on Facebook, or send it in, and I'll give you a shout out on air, maybe with whatever you do or you want help with, or set an intention. I do a meditation daily for people that I work with, and also the show I do once a week. So I can bring you in the healing circle and meditation. Maybe a dream that you have, a goal, something you want help on, or just something you want to put out there to the universe. I'm going to do this year. But let us know how, where and how you listen to Awakenings. Is it by phone? Is it computer? Is it a makeshift little speaker? Is it the archives? And where you usually listen. You know, we have a lot of listeners via the archives. Went outside to get in the ocean. So gorgeous. We've had such rain here in Southern California, and it's left everything really nice and shiny. All right, as everybody knows, second half of the program, we have our Awakened dialogue, discussion, interview, all of the above. And today, you know how I'm a bit of an astrology buff, studying it for many, many years. We have today Daniel Iverson, and if you want to look him up before he comes on the second half of the program, it's 4evolutionaryastrology.com, and it's the number 4. And he has studied with some of the greats. So I've been doing it for a long time, and has also studied tarot as well. So it sounds well-rounded. Sounds like it's going to be a good interview. Oh, thanks, Tamara, for putting it in the chat. Okay, I'm going to get to callers because I see we have a lot of people that there's a lot going on, and I'm just going to touch about it because I've had clients saying, I love it. Run right in. I have to go get my lunch from kitchen. Good. Get your lunch. Come on, everybody. Get your lunch. Get your tea. Get your coffee. Come join us. And Crystal Bowles came in. Hi, Sue. We've got one guest more coming in. So, okay. Some of you get my full insights. And also, if you'd like to get my, I do a weekly heads up as well as a monthly heads up of the energies that are happening. And if you would like to be on that list, just email me at awakeningsradio@gmail.com, Awakenings Podcast. I think we're doing that. Both get it. Some of you have Awakenings Radio. Some of you have Awakenings Podcast. So awakeningspodcast@gmail.com. You can also go to Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living, that blog, and it's Soul Insights, the number 4, and then Spirit-Led Living, and give a bit of a heads up. And or selfandlight.com is another way, or soulentrepreneurship.com also will, if you're interested in that kind of work. And I have stuff, you know, CDs and books and things that can help you, and other resources, and there's a link to my daily OM course, Navigate Your Greatest Soul Shift. Totally life-changing course. More than a course. It's, as some of my friends say, it's the mother of all courses. It's such an in-depth course. But you have it for a year. You can take your time. You can redo it. You know, you can breeze through and then go back and, you know, redo it. So, anyway, those of you just joining in the chat, if you'd like to talk, if you want to say hi, if you want a reading, you want the questions answered, you want to connect verbally, vocally, that number is 347-539-5122 and press pound, pound one on your keypad. Okay, so I'm getting my downloads right now. So had a lot of people, and I bet some of these questions from the listeners are going to be on this. I've had a lot of people that I work with and that I'm in groups with say, what's going on? What happened? So we had some interesting energy right around the holiday time, Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, right in that. Of course, it's a time that we're spending a lot with friends and family. And even into this, you know, this month, this where we're at now, presently, where people are saying, what's going on about relationships? Why are they blowing up? People are getting upset. You know, one of my clients said, my husband hasn't spoken to me for 2 days. He's been in this mood. I can't figure it out. I need more help in the house. Another one, client was saying, I'm just, you know, I need to change it up. I need to do some things differently in my life. I need a different type of relationship. I don't feel that my mate sees me. So I'm hearing all of this and, you know, boy, we really got into the worst fight ever. And the highlight right now, and again, it's overarching since about 2005. 2009, we started moving into right relationships. The overarching theme for many, 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 many years, and it's, again, started in 2009, is right relationship, right livelihood and right relationship, those universal maxims that we look, what is my relationship to myself? Is that in alignment? I'm sharing with everybody, you're in service to yourself as well. It's not just to other people. You're in service to God or to all that is. Divine life force energy, great white spirit, whatever you want to call it, morphogenic fields, rungs of light, consciousness. We are all consciousness made manifest. We're an idea in the mind of God, or from the mind of God, or the all that is. We're consciousness that takes shape and form. So our life is sacred. We need to do what's right for us also, out of sacredness to all of life. You know, most indigenous cultures are aware of this, especially Native Americans, with the sacrifice that, you know, in a way, our life isn't just our life. Our life is for whatever time period we're born into, what of our gifts, our talents. We're here with a special cause, a special mission. We're here because our specific energy is needed and necessary. So we're in service to life itself. So this is why we're being pulled by the soul self, by the inner urgings. Be more, do more. You're here to do. We didn't just come here to vegetate and watch TV, you know, or watch Netflix or whatever. You know, we're here to do our thing. To do our thing. How's that? Our thing. We're here to do our thing. We're here to do our thing with other people. What's happened in kind of this, for lack of a better phrase, New Age movement is people think I'm services about someone else. It's about feeding the hungry and all that. Yeah, that's a part of it. But it's about, are you doing what's fulfilling for you? Are you living out your soul's purpose? Are you living out the plan? What's the plan for you? Are you living out to your highest potential? Are you seeing life as this magical mystery? This unfolding and this becoming. And no, we get depressed, we get angry, we get upset, we get sad, but that's a part of it also. You know, recently, you know, David Bowie passed, the amazing musician, performance artist, actor, even acted, producer. He knew he was dying of cancer, and what did he do? His last act was he put out another album, and he did a video of what he was going through. He even had some comedy in it. It's kind of wrenching, but there's some little comedic parts. Most of you that watch Jimmy Fallon, he does this thing where he writes these notes, thank you notes. And David Bowie put that in, you know, kind of an homage to him. I look at somebody like that, or Frida Kahlo, you know, or Kahlo, I would say she's my santa patronus, my patron saint, because she took the grist with the uncomfortable things, the health issues she had. She was run over by a bus as a child and impaled, and she had all these, you know, health problems due to that, and then couldn't have children due to that, impaled to the pelvis. But she created, even when she was, I think, 6 months in, lying in bed, in the hospital bed, she had people put a canvas over her bed. They built like a, you know, poster, and then put the canvas over so she could paint while lying down. Sometimes she even had to paint with her mouth. So I look at that, and I guess I'm not saying I'm stellar, you know, at this also. You know, I have my challenges in this. But the call that's happening, the pinching that everybody is getting right now is, are you going to your own next level of unfolding? The thing is, we are reflecting consciousness. That's our gift to the universe. The flower, the trees, they have no choice. You have to grow. They have to go through the cycle. They don't say, oh, I don't want to bloom. I don't feel like opening up yet. I'm scared to open up. But we have that reflecting consciousness where we're kind of, you know, in this passion play, consciously reflecting on what we're doing or not doing or want to do. You know, we can participate or not participate. But by not participating, we are participating, but we're participating in a different way. So we have that. We are able to get ideas, amazing ideas, create, collaborate, invent, innovate. We're able to disrupt, you know, be disruptive innovators and say, no, we're going in this way. This is where things are going. This is better for the greater good. So how does this happen in relationships? It's happening to us individually with ourselves. And this is also happening with relationships. So there's a lot of disturbances now around a relationship where the soul is saying, clear those wounds, those old hurts that are holding you back. Strengthen the ego, which means psychologically, be confident in yourself, have good self-esteem. Very basic stuff that kind of everybody has missed, you know, over the years. You know, everybody wants to meditate stuff away, and everybody wants to yoga it away, and everybody wants to climb the Himalayas away. But spirit is saying, go back to the basics: love, consideration, kindness, helping each other. Slow down. A couple of my clients had two near misses with cars. What does that mean? Slow down. Our car represents, and those of you know I'm trained in dream therapy, it represents our body, but it also represents how we get along in life. Are we in the back seat of our life? Are we in the passenger seat? Or are we in the front seat? Or are we zooming along and missing stuff and having near misses? So right now, yes, there will be disruptions in relationship because each person's soul is saying to the higher self, we need to adjust. Something's wrong here. Something's not healthy. I need my needs met. I need you to listen, hear me, not just listen to me, hear what I'm actually saying, acknowledge me, and come to understand me. The greatest gift we can give each other is our presence of mind, our listening, hearing, acknowledging, and understanding. To say, it's so powerful. You know, as a shamanic healer and also a bereavement counselor, one of the greatest gifts for me has been to hold sacred space for somebody and listen to their story and hear and understand them and go, wow, that's why that person did that. That's what they're about. So, yes, we have to make money or, you know, earn money. Make it. I'd like to make it, right? Yeah, we have, you know, a job and, you know, we got the kids to school and there's all these things, but the basic of why we're all here is relationship. We are to come to awaken that we are in an interconnected universe. Everything affects everything and everyone. We are here as relational beings. We are here to join together, to share, to exchange energy. Everything is an exchange of life force energy. So where in relationship people, one person is holding on too much, one person's running, one person's holding too tight, there's going to be disruptions. You're going to see old issues come up, betrayals, insecurities, trust issues are really up right now. It's all coming up. And my people that I'm working with, they're saying, oh, I went through this already. I went through this 3 years ago. Or I went through this with these girls that I know, or this guy that I know did this, cheated on me. I went through the same thing. Or my husband left me 10 years ago, and now I'm in this new relationship, and it's happening again. Because there's something that was missed. There's something that wasn't healed. And every relationship is a call for wholeness. It's a call for healing. It's a call that you have some stuff I need, and I have some stuff that you need. Can we be conscious enough to recognize the teacher, not that you're not just my student, I'm not your student, the teacher in me, and can we hold each other and be present? Can we be accountable? So areas of accountability, and if you look astrologically at Saturn and Sag, that's what it is. It's looking big picture, it's principles, but Sag is also don't fence me in. You know, I don't want the structure. I want to do what I want to do, and I'm on a horsey. You know, little horses, power. I'm out there in the field. But Saturn says, no, we got to rein it in. We got to have some boundaries here. So issues of freedom versus, you know, distance, closeness. Freedom versus, you know, boundaries, that you have this much free rein. Needs and wants. These are some things that are going to be coming up. Fulfillment. Am I feeling fulfilled within myself and my life? Is my partner holding me back? Are they not doing what they promised that they were supposed to do? That has to be looked at. You know, am I holding myself back for someone else? So there's going to be, and it's going to continue, especially into this year. This year is a hotbed of leave the past behind and move forward. New level, new beginnings. New, nuevo, whatever language, nueve, whatever language you want to say. This year is about a departing from what isn't working, and a departure from, hey, you have this dream, why aren't you acting upon it? So I hope the listeners, this has given you some insight. I did have quite a few email questions on this, and as well as some clients said, could you please speak of this on your show, go into great, because I know other people are going through this. So I would say right now, try not to be dismayed by the disruptions in relationship. Trust that a better way is getting worked out. And see what can you work out within yourself and with the other person. You know, I'm seeing this a lot too in the workforce, by the way, where people are saying, I can't work for this boss anymore. I can't work. They're not pulling their weight. So in those kinds of situations, it can be more challenging because, my clients are saying, but I can't leave the job. I need it right now. And then I'm like, well, then you need to find a way to structure that you're not overgiving, or maybe get out of the office more, or let some things slide. Where are you overgiving and where are you undergiving, or where are you not receiving enough or are you taking too much? So that's the whole thing. It's really about the balance. Honestly feeling it out for yourself and looking honestly in your life and going, wow, these people are not showing up for me, or this person isn't really fully present. I'm finding that it's all about them. Then that's a pattern within you that needs to be healed, because you have to ask yourself, why are you doing that? Martyrdom. Why are you doing the self-sacrificing? It doesn't matter in a pinch acutely or somebody's sick or going through something. But if you're looking and going, hey, where are my friends when I need them? Then it's not about blaming the friends. It's about turning the mirror to yourself and saying, what in me is saying and communicating, putting the vibrational frequency out there that says, I don't deserve to have somebody there for me, that it's okay, right? Everything is frequency. Everything is vibration. We attract what we are to some degree. We have mishaps. There are things happen because, yes, the universe is orderly, but there is a randomness. So to some degree, it's not only what we attract, but what do we do with what we attract? How do we handle situations? So if you have some blow-ups, if there's some doozies right now in your relationship, it's because the higher self is saying something's gone on too long. Something isn't working. Find a better way. What is that better way? Can you work it through with that person or that job or, that position, that group, that significant other, that mate, that friend? Can you work it out? But it's going to take two. That's the thing. We're all interconnected. The working out has to be with the other person as well, and that has to be a requirement. Let's get to the phone line. Hey, 202-281, you're on Awakenings. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
What's just wanted to get a reading
Or
a mini reading. I'm not sure. I've never called before, so I'm not sure how you work this out.
Okay, just ask the question. And your first name?
My name is Camilla.
Camilla. Hi, Camilla. Okay. And what's your question?
Curious about career in 2016. I'd like to see if there's a job coming my way, freelance, staff, whatever you pick up.
Okay. Now, there's something changing about the way you work. Maybe it's that you don't have a job. I'm not sure. But are you wanting more freelance?
I'm kind of open. If it's the right thing, I would totally do staff, and I'm also open to freelance as long as it's enough to support myself.
To support yourself, okay. Honestly, work-wise, it's showing that you need to connect more with your social circles, or there's people in your field that you need to reach out to more. Maybe it's also notice boards, but I'm also getting emails because I do feel like it is something for you. I feel like February is going to be a little patchy work-wise, but March there'll be more security in the job front. And it is going to come by either from somebody you've already worked with or that you know and lets you know of an opening. Okay, so if I was you, I would take anything for the now. Because it's really looking like more like March is bringing the stability on the work level. So whatever you can take now, however you can reach out, there is a job there for you.
Okay. And do you know if that is freelance or staff?
I feel freelance is first. Whatever that means, stability, if it is contract work in March, it'll be a longer contract. Because I see you every day, you know, going out of the house, you know, or out of your, for work. So it's showing stability.
Okay.
So if that helps you. But start emailing, start reaching out, okay?
Okay, I will do that.
Okay, great. Let us know how it goes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Hi, 928781, you're on Awakening. Hello.
Hi, hello.
Yes, you're on air.
Hi, my name is Elfina.
Yeah. What's your first name? Delfina?
Elfina with an A.
Oh, Elfina, okay. Hi, Elfina. Welcome.
Hi.
What's your question?
It pertains to relationships. I'm wondering what you can pick up on my relationship for the year of 2016.
And what about your relationship? What do you want to know? What are you...
I guess what's the main thing that I guess I can expect from this relationship this year?
Okay. All right. Well, that's a nice way to put it. Sure. Well, I would say in June, look for things to get tighter. It feels like February, there's some talks either about, you know, money. Is this person going through something financially that you're dating?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Okay, because is it kind of new? So there's going to be some revelation. Maybe it's also you. Maybe it's you revealing something, you know, in February. And give me the first name. So let me see. What's the first, I'm asking if you know relationship.
Dale?
Well, yeah, it's still showing. It's showing to... Yeah, it's showing, you know, steady as you go, bit by bit. I'm still showing, yeah, June, there seems to be more of, you know, a deepening, more of a change. But it's not something, this is not a fast kind of jump-in situation. It's saying persevere, steady as you go, just let it unfold, you know, naturally, not rushing in or out of something, okay? So that's really... really the kind of the outlook and what will be happening, you know, in your relationship. So it's unfolding. It's in its own process of unfolding. Okay?
Actually, we already have a relationship that's I don't have to explain that, but okay, never mind. Okay, thank you.
Well, do you see what, yeah, but is something, are you thinking about becoming more exclusive or stabilizing the relationship more?
We've already spoken about that, but, yeah, I guess I'll leave it there.
Well, you've spoken about it, but it's not done yet. That's what I'm saying. So look for changes. So just, it's in its own process. Just
okay.
Just
right.
Let it be.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
It's
all
fine.
Right.
I don't, yeah, I'm not seeing a breakup or anything. Okay. Sounds good. Okay. Hi, 201-321. Whoopsie. Are you there?
Hello?
Having trouble. Okay. Yes. Welcome to the program. What's your first name? Hi.
Hi, my name is Lynn.
Lynn?
Lynn, L-Y-N-N. How are you?
Okay, cool, Lynn. Hi. Doing great. Great to connect with you.
Oh, it's great to connect with you. I have a question. Ready?
Yes, what is it?
Okay.
Yes, I'm ready.
I received a new card deck in the middle of December. And,
okay.
Out of curiosity, I picked it up once, and I pulled one card, and it was Surrender Denial. And then last Sunday, a few weeks later, I picked the deck up again, and I pulled the same card. Yesterday, out of curiosity, I picked the deck up again, and I pulled the same card again. Surrender Denial. Yeah, so isn't that awesome for validation? And I keep looking
at the
card, and I try to tie it into where I should be doing this, and what exactly does it mean. And you know, I can guess, but nothing feels concrete. There's a there's a little passage at the bottom that says, "Accept people and situations exactly as they are, without denying the difficulties. Then you can see things clearly and make the best decisions."
It's interesting because as you were saying surrender, denial, what I was getting also intuitively, psychically, was acceptance. But I also feel that it's not just people, but it's yourself. You know, so the beginning of the program when I was saying, are we in service to ourselves and our life? And I feel for you there's some more things that you perhaps want to do.
Yes.
Maybe it's even readings for people. So accepting that, but also not denying to yourself, why haven't I done it sooner? Why am I, there's some things I want to do or I dream about doing and I haven't been doing. So I would say with the surrender denial, I would say the next thing is self-love, self-acceptance, you know, which is that acceptance of how things are and how you are, that, oh, it's taking me a while, or maybe I'm a little shy or a little insecure, or you know, I'm not sure, and let that be okay. Let that be, well, that's how I am. That's part of the process, but I'm going to do things to help myself through that, to move out there more. So I feel more than with other people, because I feel you're very compassionate with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you're a great healer and teacher, but I feel now it's about you applying that to yourself. Is that making sense?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. In fact, the picture on the card is a woman standing under a beautiful blue skies with a cloud, and she's in a field. She has a beautiful flowing white dress on and a white blindfold and brunette hair. And, you know, I associated myself with this woman right away. And then I looked at it again and I could see her look like that.
Interesting. But see, you were getting, intuitively, you were getting the message, though. You were getting the message that I'm identifying with this person. So it's you applying it to you.
It's me.
Especially,
well, that makes it easier. That's awesome. And yes, when I was listening to you speak in the beginning of the show, I said, oh, see how things work? I'm calling the right day. This ties in to my card. I knew it.
Yeah, it does. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, well, I do meditation beforehand to see what the listeners, everybody's needing. And then I do have, you know, people email me questions to answer on air and such, or you know, ask me. But usually there's a collective, you know. The collective is saying this is what we're going through. So thanks, Lynn. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Much peace. Okay. We've got 325-456. You're on Awakening.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi. Who's this?
This is Laura. How are y'all?
Hi, Laura. I'm doing great. Hi, Laura. And what's your question?
I have a question. I was dating someone, and I don't know what happened.
Ah, okay. Let's see.
I really was enjoying him.
Okay. And what happened? Just not calling anymore? What happened?
Yes. Just stopped calling and stopped coming around. I thought it was going really well.
Yeah, I feel like there could be another person around, another woman. And could it even be somebody from the past? Did he talk to you about somebody else?
No.
Okay. So, you might, let's see, what's coming up for it? I see two. Okay. You know what I'm getting around here? I'm also getting issues around depression or something not going well in his life. I'm getting a lot of depressed. I'm getting a lot of stuff coming up on the subconscious that's stopping him. So he doesn't feel in his mind fit to go further. Like it was going really well. It was starting to go forward, but I feel it's the, and he may have had this issue before, I don't know if we're saying drinking or prescription, but there's something that is, he's helping to put him out of his pain, I will say. And, but the not doing well, the depression, I do feel there could be a little, he knows he needs to call you, he needs to connect with you. He's thinking about you, you're on his mind, but there's a part of him saying, I can't go further, I can't do this. It's a good looking, like a good chance you could hear from him again, kind of out of the blue. But I don't know, the depression, that has to be handled. This has come up before him with the relationship. I hope, does that help?
Yes, it does. Thank you, Michelle.
You're welcome. Big hug. So no, it wasn't
Thanks.
You. It's kind of sometimes people sabotage when something's too good, you know, they can't handle it.
Yeah, I never felt
right,
that way
Laura.
Before.
Oh, big hug to you, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Hi, 661-332, you're on air.
Hello?
Who is it? Yes,
this is Charles. Charles?
Hey, Charles, welcome. Howdy.
I thought it was interesting what you were saying about the relationship, and I was having problems with, like, trust, really. And I know it wasn't the main question, but, yeah, I don't know why. There's times where I don't trust this person. I guess what happened to me last year.
Yeah.
And then there's certain things that just didn't start off right, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. But the other question I really had was about an investment that my cousin was talking about. I'm trying to see if that's going to happen, as well as another situation with a guy named Paul that I hadn't talked to in a while, but he recently messaged me again.
Surface.
And he says he wants to do something, I guess, but I'm not sure what's going to happen.
Well, I do see funding, money, collaboration with some other people. I do see that. It shows investment in you and in your projects. So that's
uh-huh.
definitely happening. The relationship, take it slowly. Is your relationship kind of, are you shutting down? Are you pulling back a bit?
Not really. I mean, it's just, I've just kind of been letting it just happen and just chilling out. But there's just things that bother me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't need to be wasting time with anybody, to be honest. Like, but it's not that everything's been horrible, but, you know, it's just certain things that just, like, why is that okay with me? Why do I just accept that? But,
do you mind sharing what it is? What are you more of a,
well,
what's bothering you?
There's a lot of things. There's one thing, is I was working with somebody before. She was a friend.
Uh-huh.
It was somewhat like a relationship. And this person tried to help me with a website. And then the girl that I'm dating currently got all mad about it and said she was annoying, and she had never met her. But then some guy she used to be with or something, she goes and works with him, and he's supposed to be this really asshole of a person. And then it's like, why is that okay that she can do that, and then I can't even talk to, you know, somebody that's not even mean to me or I don't have a problem with? Like, how do I accept that? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, did you tell her that? Did you tell her that?
Yeah, I told her plenty of times. It makes me really mad. And then, yeah, it's just a lot of things, you know, and it's like.
But what I hear in this is feelings. See, feelings don't make sense. So someone could be jealous of you with another woman and go do that. So they could be either acting out, or there might be insensitive and not see it as the same, you know.
Yeah.
But I do hear communication, and maybe say that, you know, that it, not just anger, but underneath the anger is hurt. You know, I think this relationship, you're kind of trying new things out. You're kind of getting back in the saddle again. But I do see intuitively the two of you, it's there needs to be more honesty, opening up, like this hurts me, instead of saying that, don't do that, you know, that makes me angry. Instead of trying to control the behavior, get into the feelings. And that's what I see the next step you have, that something hurts you.
Yeah. I mean, I can usually deal with anything because I don't sit there just caring too much about anything. But it's like, I don't understand how somebody could do that but then can't have me do what I'm doing in certain ways. And it's like, that's just strange. And, it's just like, I don't understand how somebody can say they don't like working with a person or whatever, and then they go back to working with them. Meanwhile, I don't.
You're trying to make sense of feelings. You don't. Yes, but feelings are not necessarily rational.
Okay.
They're not. You know. Yeah. I mean, I do sense with this person, there's probably some game playing and insecurity. Like, you have trust issues. She has issues about it being insecure, and I feel also needs a lot of validation, which you start to pull back even emotionally, energetically, and she can feel that, which is making her more insecure. So, again, as we get to know our wounds and our triggering, we can share that with people and say, hey, when you do this, you know, even though it's not you, I'm, you know, experiencing this inside. But I don't know if she's up to that level yet. I'm not sure. I feel like there's a lot of game playing going on.
But I don't even understand why I would even put myself in that situation with somebody. It's like, I don't want to play games with people. I don't. And it's like, I don't know. It's just, I wonder.
It's hard.
If
you're
this
trying
was
to.
Even supposed to. I wondered if this was even supposed to happen because it was just not even a good start, and I still gave that person a chance. I mean, like I said, it's not bad. I like it, a lot of it, but then certain things, like, I'm just a different person, you know, completely different.
Then, well, we have what we have. What we've attracted, like I talked about at the beginning of the program, all relationships are a call for wholeness, for healing. And when you're done, you'll be done. If there's still more to it that you're liking, you know, then there's something worth it, you know, and if you're learning and growing and if you have a good time, there's always going to be issues with everybody. There's always going to be something, and you're always going to hit a snag where somebody's insecurities come up or trust issues. That's just how it goes. What I would say with this is try to drop more into feeling, you know, and work on the communication, you know, open that up more. As far as you with investment, I'm not sure with the cousin, but I see work stuff around you. I see work investment stuff.
With Paul? Or?
You know, I don't know who it is. I definitely see that it's in a studio because I can see the mixing board and all that happening.
Okay.
So it's definitely work stuff. And it does show this year there could be some travel with work, so I don't know if you have...
Yeah,
I've
already,
already
got a Europe tour.
Oh, okay.
For May.
Okay. Yeah, so that's gonna be good too. That's gonna change up the energy also. All right, Charles.
Really,
thanks for calling in.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, I think we've got one more. 443-905. You're on Awakenings with Michelle Mache.
Hi.
Hello,
this is Kathy. How are you? This is Kathy.
Hey, Kathy.
How are you?
Hi, Kathy. Doing great.
Good. I'd like to know what you see for this year on my spiritual path.
Okay. Now, that's a very broad question. What specifically do you want me to look at?
Will I be learning anything new?
Yes. And it's interesting. Boy, I don't know if you heard the first part of the program, but it definitely speaks to what I see coming with you. I feel like a major transformation for you, probably mid this year, maybe even rounding towards the end of the year, where you may even want to be doing something different career-wise or work-wise or working differently or taking something on. So the changes that I see for you spiritually are going to be beginning to manifest more in your lifestyle, your routine. So So a lot of times we have mental, emotional changes. We work on healing. We're on our spiritual path. We're doing our spiritual practice, connecting within. And at some point, those changes are less etheric. They become very tangible, which means we need to make decisions in our life about, you know, certain things that are that impact our everyday living or life. So I would say look for, you know, and it may start little, just a little, you know, like, oh, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to do more of this, or I really need to do that. But look for, there could even be some dietary changes I'm seeing, but look for tangible changes. I don't see you, like, throwing, you know, the proverbial baby out with the bathwater, but I do see you having a different routine, and maybe it's either work or working differently, but it is gonna affect more of your everyday life and in your, you know, your public life, how people see you. And I do see you part of some kind of center, spiritual center also, that I see you spending a lot of time at also. Does that help?
I do want to retire at the beginning of 2017.
There we go. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, then yeah, there's the change there. So whatever you're doing spiritually, you'll have the centeredness, the focus, the gumption, the trust to do that. I do see you work. I do see you taking on something else. It might even be nonprofit or something. I don't know. It seems something with, it's connected with some kind of spiritual center or organization. But there it is. Yeah. So, yeah. But you're, yeah, major transformation you're going through.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Enjoy, Kathy.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Ooh, that was nice. Nice callers, nice questions, nice feedback. Really good to hear from everybody. Let's see. Maybe this is coming as a master lesson and be done. Erica's mom is saying, I guess, Charles, I don't know if you're in the chat and reading that. And Erica's mom is saying, at my lowest broken heart, I was able to stop playing the victim and stand up for what was acceptable and unacceptable for me. Yeah, I mean, that is the overriding arch right now. That is the big theme. Again, it's not just, as I said at the top of the program, we're not just in service to other people. We're in service to life itself, to ourselves, to our soul self, to, you know, to our path, to our next unfolding. And I don't know that we ever have to really X anybody out, but we can do inner boundaries. We can, you know, as I believe it was Lynn that called in, you know, the surrender, the denial to accept what is. When we accept more of what is within ourselves, that self-love, self-acceptance, that's where real change happens. But you first have to move into acceptance of what is. You have to have the awareness of what is actually going on and what people's limitations are. What are your limitations? Where do you want to grow or stretch? It's kind of like we don't expect an 8-year-old to drive a car. And some people are at that level developmentally, emotionally. So you kind of have to look at them going, at some point they have to grow. That has to be a requirement also in the new paradigm, is growth. This, because that is the natural process of life, is evolution. That is a natural process of consciousness. The getting better and better and more ideal. All right, it is time for the second half of the program, which I always love. We have with us today, as I said at the top of the program, Daniel Fiverson, who is an evolutionary astrologer. Yes, love it. Great insight with evolutionary astrology, and we'll definitely be diving into that. He's also studied the I Ching, tarot, and had a great shift after reading Autobiography of a Yogi in the late 60s. That's when he began to make his change in his life and his path to move into what he is doing now. So let's give a nice warm welcome to Daniel Fiverson. Hi, Daniel. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, so glad you're on today. Any day would have been great, but this is, you know, with the calls that we've had in and the questions that we've had, people asking. Let's dive in a little bit here. It seems that your first awakening was after, if it's true, Autobiography of a Yogi. Is that when you first kind of said, oh, there's more to life or more than
no,
I have to do? Or would you, go ahead.
Yeah, it was. I think it was the 60s in general, Michelle. I'm certainly a child of the 60s, and the experiences that we had back in those years definitely was a transitional time for me. It really took me out of my childhood, my conditioning from my parents and everything that had come before, and made me realize that what they taught me in school wasn't really what it's all about.
Nice. So you were already waking up, and then these tools, which I'm, by the way, I'm a big student of the I Ching. It's just amazing. What did you start doing first? How did it happen? Because, you know, I would like to give a background of the guest, because a lot of people that listen either are, you know, newly awakening or in a path of awakening more and more, and then they get to the point of, gosh, I really don't want to do what I'm doing anymore in my life, or I want to study more this or that, or I want to go in a new direction. So I always find it interesting, what is our guest path? What brought them to where they are now, helping people and fully doing what they love doing?
Okay. I think it's been a long path. The 60s really was like machine gun exposure to all these things for me all at once. But it took me, you know, processing all this to actually be able to say that this is who I am. You know, we don't change that easily. We have such, you know, such a self-image that we hold on to, you know, sometimes at all cost. So, you know, I didn't just all of a sudden become a professional astrologer after I read my first astrology book. It took me a while to realize that, you know, this is who I am. I had to do some other things in the meantime and realize that I wasn't all those things. You know, I guess it's kind of like there's a Hindu proverb, neti neti, which means not this, not this. And I had to go through that process. I had to go through that process. In order to really begin to understand who it was that I that who I am and what it was that I was supposed to be doing.
So was it this? You know, it's interesting because evolutionary astrology was. Is this evolution for you? Was it more and more, and then leading you there, leading you towards this path?
I think when I encountered Jeff Green's work, that's really what pulled the trigger for me. Because I've followed astrology. I have kind of studied it, you know, but I never really felt that that was who I was, because the astrology that I was working with, and this isn't to, you know, say anything bad about other astrology, because I believe all astrology works, but it was too formulaic for me. And when I encountered Jeff's work, it just resonated with me. Said, of course, this is what it's about. This is what we're supposed to be looking at. It's not about, you know, who am I going to marry? You know, it's not about, well, I meet a tall, dark stranger. It's not fortune telling. It's about understanding from a soul level who we are, where we've come from, and where we've intended to go.
So. Share with us a bit of evolutionary astrology and the background of it, and what it actually, and you've touched on in here, what it actually is, the focus of evolutionary astrology.
Sure. Evolutionary astrology is a soul-based perspective, lifetime to lifetime, what we've brought with us. Traditional Western astrology uses sun, moon, and ascendant as the primary significators to determine, or I guess to say, as the gateway into the chart. From an evolutionary astrology perspective, Pluto and the lunar nodes are the gateway into understanding this lifetime, because Pluto and the south nodes show us our karmic necessities and our evolutionary intentions going forward.
That's interesting. Okay.
I'm always drawn to
that.
I know that's
a mouthful. Yes. Go ahead.
Well, no, I love it because, I mean, and if you could explain it more, because I know in those people that are listening that have their charts, is it the South know past life or where we've been or what we our default, what we naturally do, and the North node, in a way, what we're aspiring towards or going towards or integrating?
Yes.
Did you look at it that way?
Let me break it down. We start with Pluto because Pluto itself is the soul. Pluto is the wave that's separated from the ocean of all that is. And in that separation, the illusion of separation is created. We think we're just the wave. We forget that we're actually a wave that's part of the ocean. But the wave is only the ocean experiencing itself. So that's the first understanding. Pluto in the chart, by house, sign, and aspect to other planets, reveals the cycle of the lessons that we've been working on prior to this lifetime and what are our primary soul lessons in this lifetime. We come in generationally, and that's the way that the planet itself evolves. Pluto, I have Pluto in Leo. It was Leo for 17 years. So, you know, millions of people, you know, everybody in my math class in ninth grade, we all came in on that same bus. But each of us has that Pluto placement in a different one of the 12 houses. And in a sense, that the house placement is actually more significant than the sign that Pluto is in. I'm not dismissing the sign, but we look at the house first. Someone with Pluto in the first house is an Aries soul. They have a lot of Aries energy. That Pluto is right out there. It's instinctive. Everybody knows, knows about them. They can't hide their core personality. With Pluto in the 12th house is going to also have that powerful kind of personality, but it won't be as obvious. It's going to be hidden. It's behind the scenes. And they're a Pisces personality, Pisces soul, excuse me. So the placement of Pluto by house really gives us a starting point, a gateway into the soul. We understand, where this soul is coming from and what the lessons are about. Does that make sense? Okay.
Yeah, it does. So go ahead. Go ahead.
No. Did you want to say something? No, it's okay. Pluto also has a polarity point. We work with the law of polarity, which is a hermetic principle. So if Pluto's in the first house, we know that the soul's lessons are about self-actualization, about creating themselves in the world on some level. Pluto in the first house is a soul who's actually beginning a whole new cycle of lessons. Or in a whole new cycle of lessons. It doesn't mean this is the first lifetime, but the cycle of lessons is a new cycle. They finished what was behind them, and they're embarking on a new cycle. They would have the Pluto polarity point then in their seventh house. So it's about integrating themselves with others and learning about themselves through relationships, through the mirror of other people, which somebody with Pluto in the first house probably doesn't see that well because they're so focused on their own growth and their own, asserting themselves and actualizing themselves in the world. Does that kind of make sense?
Okay. Yeah, I love that. So it's like the house is like where it sounds like a lot of activity is there or there's an emphasis there for growth.
Yes.
Right.
In evolutionary astrology, Michelle, we consider the planet and the sign and the house to be the same archetype. So someone may not have, the moon in Cancer, but the moon's in their fourth house. It's going to work in much the same way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Definitely agree with that. Yeah, the coloring, it colors it.
Right.
So people really, so it sounds like, by looking at where Pluto is, what house, to really expect not just experiences there, but lessons, learnings there.
Exactly. Yes. That's where the lessons are going to come from. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, we can never isolate a single thing in the chart. We're holograms. We're multidimensional. So, you know, two babies born side by side in the hospital minutes apart have totally different life paths. Okay? And this doesn't negate astrology, but there's a reason for this. Because there's another dimension to us. The chart itself is a flat two-dimensional representation. So, you know, a flat thing with just some glyphs on it. That's a horizontal axis. It has a vertical axis that's brought to it, and that's the consciousness of the person who the chart is for.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Good point. So with Pluto, like you said, there's the hermetic principle of polarity. You're saying like the first house, or let's say 11th house, 5th house, whatever. But the activity would be in both. Or emphasis would be in both houses. Would there be learnings in both houses, like as well, like groups? I don't know if 11th and 5th, if that would be something with learning lessons about groups and maybe their own creativity.
Yes.
It sounds like it's a great way to pinpoint.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a gateway. But again, we have to remember that we have activity in, you know, all through our chart, even houses that don't have a planet in them. You know, we all have relationships, we all have a job, et cetera. But the Pluto placement, where Pluto is going to reveal where our challenges are and where the limitations exist that we have to overcome.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Love that. Yeah. And, okay, now we've got a couple questions come in. Oh, by the way, anybody, if you would like to ask Daniel a question, you can call in at 347-539-5122. Okay, forward, because I'm looking at the email. Is it possible to go through the houses? Can you touch on the houses with Pluto in each house? That doesn't take too long a sentence or two.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can, but it's gonna eat up our time. But we can.
Or where is it? Is there another place on your? Is there a website? Okay, do you have this on your website or book? Where can I find out more information?
I have a lot of information on my website. I don't have an article particularly about Pluto in each of the houses, but Jeffrey Wolf Green, his seminal work was Pluto Volume 1, The Journey of the Soul, and that's what the book is about.
I have that book.
It explains how the Pluto archetype is expressed through each house and sign. I would direct the listener to Jeff's original work.
Okay, great. And that's, Jeff Green, yeah. I actually have that book.
Pluto Volume 1.
Pluto in the House.
Pluto Volume 1.
Okay, perfect. Put that in the chat. Okay. All right.
So the second part of the gateway has two parts to it. The second entry point are the lunar nodes, especially the south node. You know, from lifetime to lifetime, we pick up where we left off. And for good reason, we're denied the memory of the traumas and the triumphs that we've had before. So in each lifetime, the soul creates an egocentric structure, which is our moon. And the moon has a past and a future. The south node is the composite of all the previous lunar experiences prior to this lifetime. So that's why it's our habitual, you know, safe place to land, because it's what we're most familiar with, for better or for worse. The north node is that probable self that we have put out there. It's actually I call it a magical moving sidewalk. It's if we approach it, we take one step towards it. It takes two steps towards us. But we have to choose it. It doesn't happen. The south node is by default who we are. The north node is who we're intending to become, but we have to work at it.
We have to work at that. Okay, so it shows. I love the idea too that you say it's a gateway. So it's a way to get in there. Now we did have a question though. What is now? Do you, in evolutionary astrology, do you look at what's happening collectively as well?
You mean mundane astrology?
Well,
I do. Yeah.
Collective. No, no, but okay. So because it's a divine mystic thing, what pseudo aspects of? Well, like what is happening collectively, you know, on a societal level or, you know, a world level,
yes.
the aspects.
Oh, sure. Oh,
okay,
oh,
so that
oh,
is
sure,
what it is.
Right. Sure.
Yeah, so you do. Okay.
Yeah, but, it, but this is not, you know, it's not a life path. You know, a read, if somebody calls me for a reading, but it's about their life path. But I also blog,
right.
You know, frequently, you know, all through the year, every month, you know, with the new moons, the full moons, the eclipses, planets changing signs, etc. So, but that's a different kind of astrology. That's mundane astrology. That's what's happening, you know, in the world.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. So more the mundane. But do your readings, do you touch on that, or your readings are more the evolutionary astrology of where the person is coming here to do on a soul level and where they're, you know, how they're evolving?
First, we have to establish an understanding of the chart itself, the birth chart. And then we
mm-hmm.
look at how that chart has unfolded through progressions and then current real-time transits, how they're being affected by it. Yes.
Mhm. Mhm. Amazing. And let me ask you: do you see changes now? I mean, as you're reading people's charts, as to what they're actually focused on or working on, as we have evolved, not just individually but collectively.
Yes. The world is changing. Yeah.
I
mean, first we have, you know, kind of establish a baseline, Michelle, because, you know, there's, you know, a certain segment of the population who are going to come for a reading in the first place. They have to be open to, you know, working on themselves. They have to be open to the idea that, you know, Mars is not just a space rock, that it actually has its own energetic signature. And not everybody gets that. So I'm not seeing a cross-section of humanity. I'm seeing a cross-section of people who are on heading towards a spiritual path. If they're not already on a spiritual path, they're individuating from our society and not, you know, buying into the consensus reality. But I definitely do see a shift in people. But what mostly I see is people are coming, dealing with all the traumas that the world in general is also experiencing. We're seeing it on a collective level,
mm.
and we're seeing it on a personal individual level. It's the same energy. So
mm-hmm.
they come to, you know, to learn how they can empower themselves, how they can be empowered to work with how this energy is challenging them and generating their own evolutionary growth.
Mm-hmm. So we have a couple questions in the chat from Angie and SkyLove76. Let's see. What does the rising represent in someone's chart versus the sun and moon?
I'm sorry. Would you say I missed the first part of that.
Okay.
What does the
rising in someone's chart mean versus the sun and the moon?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
That's a great question. Our rising sign, as I said before, the first house is Aries' house. It's always going to be Mars and Aries that has an energy in that house, regardless of the sign that's on the cusp or the planets that are there. And Mars is our instinct. It's our core instinct. It's birth. We come into the world head first without even knowing if somebody's going to be there to catch us before we hit the floor. That's what happens in the first house. It's what we express instinctively. Traditional astrology says that's how what we project. It's not a projection at all. There's no forethought. There's no analysis. It's just pure instinct. So that first house is our instinctual self. It's who we are without being conditioned
mm-hmm.
by anything. Okay.
Okay.
Sun and moon. The moon I described. The moon is our ego. The moon, and ego is not a bad word. If we didn't have an ego, we wouldn't be able to say our own name. The ego
exactly.
is our emotional guidance system that we have evolved, that we have built through all of our history, all of our memories, and it's our core emotional self. It's our self image. It's how we see ourselves, and it's where we find our, you know, it's our security. The sun is the focus of all of the energies in the chart. It's how all the energies are funneled out into the world. It's the how they're extruded. It's an extrusion process, if you would. And when I do a reading, I do the sun last. We look at all the other planets. Look at Mercury, Mars. Look at the outer planets, because that whole composite of energies is then focused through the sun sign.
So it's the focuser or main kind of filter. It's the focal point. And it's interesting. So you're saying the moon. Well, the moon, our emotional part.
Yes.
Did you say
yes.
That?
All the water signs are emotions. Yes.
Okay.
The moon's our emotional inner guidance system. It's if you know, do we feel safe? Do we feel loved? Or you know, are we afraid? Et cetera. That's our moon.
It's actually
our most conscious point, Michelle. It's our moment to moment interaction in the world through our emotions.
Oh, that's a great way of looking at that, Daniel. Yeah. Because we are emotional beings, and I think that's something that people need to kind of get comfortable with, especially in the kind of sometimes new age or spiritual communities. People want to poo-poo the emotions. We are here to express emotionally. I mean, that's that energy and motion. We are. That's interesting. I say, so that's minute by minute, hour by hour, day by that emotional state, that's how we are connecting with the world, is what I'm hearing you say.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
We respond emotionally. Yes, we have an intellect. We think about it. But even when we have a thought, we have an emotional reaction to that thought.
An emotional reaction to that thought. So that's what's okay. It's clarifying. So I love you. Wonderful explanation. Thank you. And then the rising, how you say it's our instinct?
Yes, it's our instinct, yes.
Okay. So, but isn't the emotion, how we're reacting or responding emotionally, would that be instinctual as well? Maybe to change a word.
Well, it's instinct in the sense that it's our habit pattern. It's how we have trained ourselves to respond because, you know, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross said it. You know, we are emotional beings, and there are two emotions. There's love and fear, but our core emotion is love. But love generally isn't what gets expressed, because through our history, our personal history, lifetime after lifetime, we've expressed that love and we've been hurt. So there's a general atmosphere of being afraid of love, because that's an open door to getting hurt. So this is the balance that we all carry within us.
And what can the evolution astrology point out? And by the way, let's get your email. It's 4 evolutionaryastrology.com. So those that are listening, it's in the chat. But those of you who are listening and would like to check out Daniel's website, maybe get an astrology reading. I love looking at soul-centered astrology. I love looking from a soul level. So, but what can people do to move? Because it's interesting you say that polarity within, the fear of love, fear of being loved because there's been so much hurt. We had a caller speak of that actually today that called in. What do you find helps with that thing, that layer that we all carry within us?
I think it's about perspective, and it's about understanding that this is not the first time we're going around this, you know, this wheel of fortune. We don't die. We can't die. We don't die. We are immutable beings. We're souls. We're not egos. We're not persons. We're souls. And you can't kill me. You can say things that hurt me, but I'm going to come back again. I mean, we're looking at, you know, a surface expression, and I know that, you know, it's easy to talk about this, but when we recognize, somebody comes for a reading and they've had a really, really abusive childhood, and they've come into their adulthood and they don't understand it. They blame their father or their stepfather or their brother or their uncle. You know, it's rampant throughout history. And when they come to the realization that was just their father's stuff, it wasn't about them. They weren't a bad person. It didn't happen to them because they were bad. Karma is not retribution. Karma is just energy that needs to be balanced, find its lowest center of gravity. And when they understand that whoever it was that was the source of the abuse was just acting out their own stuff, and, you know, maybe the two of them had a connection. Obviously, I believe the two of them had a connection prior to this lifetime. But the point being is that it wasn't about them. It happened to them, but it wasn't about them. And when they can understand that and begin to forgive themselves for hating themselves because it happened, then they begin to heal.
Yeah, I love that too. I just put in the chat, we're not persons, we're souls. So getting that soul perspective, and that everything that is acted out is in for a form of, you know, healing. You know, and
yes,
as you're saying, balanced energy, that sounds nice. Yeah. I never liked that idea of the retribution. It's just, and so many people misuse the term karma, saying, well, I was poor last life, and so now I have money. Or I had money and I misused it, so now I'm poor. I mean, it's like this kind of, you know, or I did something to them, and that's why they're doing that to me. You know, this kind of, you know.
I wish it was that simple.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. It's not a simple concept.
It's complicated. You know, the other part of this, Michelle, which really, really, you know, kind of spreads it out, is that I don't believe that time is linear. I believe that there's an eternal now. We have to, you know, somebody once asked God, why did you create time? And he or she answered, so that everything wouldn't happen all at once. But, you know, maybe that's not the way it really is.
Yeah. So we have a question, but Fountainhead, if you could make it a little more clear, because you're in the chat, just can you talk about 2007 and Pluto? Maybe too late. So if you could, understand that.
2007?
Mm-hmm.
So I'd have to go back and look at 2007. I can't keep it on my head.
There was a celestial event in 2008.
2008, Pluto entered the sign of Capricorn. And Capricorn is Saturn's sign. Capricorn creates structure. Capricorn is called the Lord of Karma, not coincidentally. Saturn is it really gets a bad rep. I mean, Saturn creates skills and masteries. Saturn is what it's time and space, it's gravity. So, you know, it can be hard because Saturn wants to create structure out of things. Well, when Pluto entered Capricorn, that was when the stock market tumbled. All of the foundation, Saturn and Capricorn are foundations, are things that are too big to fail. All of the things that we take for granted, the ground that we stand on shaking beneath our feet. Well, that's because we're moving through this threshold, this liminal space, where we're moving into a new paradigm, and so things have to be shaken up. Saturn is solid; it's crystallized. It's just so set in stone, literally, that it needs to be shattered. Before a new form can take shape, and that's what Pluto has been doing. The big event that's occurred with Pluto in Capricorn have been the seven, and actually had an eighth square just this week of Uranus to Pluto since 2012. Seven squares. That's an epic event. Seven in 3 years. That is, and if we look around, if we look around in the world, we can see the effects of it. I mean, everything, you know, around us seems to be up in the air. Everything is confused.
Yeah.
The economy, the politics, the food, the water, the migrations of people, ethnic diversity, all of it. It's all being shaken up like a, you know, a great big milkshake.
And the shaking up, is that to free the structure, the foundation, so that new ones can be built, you know, and even, you know, more importantly, people want to build new ones, you know, as it's
right.
crumbling,
right.
dismantling.
Right.
When you look, Daniel, from an evolutionary standpoint, from the astrological standpoint, what do you see is being built or created or the next step in evolution?
Well, certainly we all are aware of what's wrong in the world. And we all envision that all of the problems that in the world that we see around us, whether it's war or famine, disease, misogyny, gender inequality, racial inequality, all of these things that we know we can have a better world. This is what we all want. I believe that we're on the threshold of a golden age, Michelle. I don't know that it's going to happen in 2016 or 2017. We may have to go through some narrows. You know, there are a lot of things that need to be shaken up and changed before this golden age can occur. And maybe it'll be that our grandchildren will see it. Maybe we're just sowing those seeds. We're dealing with human consciousness, so we're looking at collective intention and how long it takes everybody or enough people to realize which way we need to go. A lot of people want change, but the change that some people want is for things to go back the way that they used to be.
Yeah.
So there's different momentums.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the Arundhati Roy, the Indian writer. She says, a new world is not only possible. She's on her way. On a quiet day, I can hear her breathing. Love that quote because. Because if we look, you know, there's glimpses of light that are coming through the darkness, and we just have to give it time to develop. We have to give enough people. Maybe it's the 100 monkey thing. You know, it's hard to say. There's a law of saturation. It's human nature not to want to change because what we know is familiar. We hold on to a job or we'll hold on to a relationship, even when we know it doesn't work. Because what's out there is scary. But when the pain becomes greater than the fear, we change.
Mm-hmm. When the pain becomes what? Yeah, and you can see that individually and collectively, you know.
Right. Yeah. Right.
What do you see, someone in the chat asking, when Pluto, so it's in Capricorn, there's a lot of this dismantling, this destruction, but as it goes into Aquarius, and or could also correspond to someone's 11th house. What do you see? You know, when is it? When is it in Aquarius? We've got we've got quite a few years before it moves in.
Yeah, I can progress it for you, but again, you know, it's too far out in the future to really make the you know any predictions, and I don't like to do that anyway. But I can give you a flavor of the archetypes.
That would be great.
You know, okay, so. Before we get to Aquarius, we have to move through Capricorn. The chart of the United States in 1776 has Pluto at 26 degrees of Capricorn. In 2020, Pluto is going to conjunct the United States of Pluto. It's never happened before because none of us have been alive 250 years to have experienced it. So this is a major event that's coming. At the same time, Saturn and Jupiter are going to conjunct in the sign of Aquarius, and Pluto will be at the final degrees of Capricorn, and there will be a stellium, Saturn, Jupiter in Aquarius, conjunct Pluto and Capricorn, also in 2020. In 2023, mm-hmm. Pluto will also move into Aquarius. Aquarius was discovered, Aquarius is ruled by Uranus. And Uranus mm-hmm. was discovered in 1781 at the time of the American and French Revolutions. Up until that time, mm-hmm. for 4,000 years, Pluto Saturn was believed to be the outermost planet in the solar system. It has rings around it. It's associated with limitations. Well, Uranus was discovered, and not only did they discover that it had rings, but that it rotates on its side perpendicular to the ecliptic. It's like rolling on its side. It's when you look at it, you don't see the edge of its rings. You see the rings full face. So it's mm-hmm. associated with unconventionality, a revolution. Clearly, the time it was found. And it's the planet of revolution. The question is what kind of revolution will it be? It's about liberation. It will bring about a tremendous force and compel a liberation of all things. But will that liberation mm-hmm. come gracefully and peacefully, or will it come violently? And there's two schools mm-hmm. of thought on it, and only time will tell.
Yeah, only time will tell. But it sounds like, too, with what's the aspects that are happening now with Pluto and Uranus, that the resistance is getting, dismantled or broken up. And like you mentioned earlier, it takes a lot for people to change. It just doesn't happen. Change. We want change, but we also want things to stay the same because it's, what's that saying?
If we want to understand the future, we have to understand the past, because mm-hmm. the past is what becomes the present, and mm-hmm. it's the natural tendency of the past to be projected out into the future, but it doesn't have to. But I study the past. In order to understand how planets are going to interact with each other, I look to the past to see what they did in the past. Through observation and correlation. It's not about assigning something to a planet saying this is what it is, because we don't know that that's what it is. It's got a broad range of expression. The mm-hmm. Pisces in somebody's chart could be someone who's visionary, has ecstatic visions. They could be a poet. They could be, an artist, or it could be somebody who's mentally ill or is alcoholic. And the chart mm-hmm. doesn't tell you that, Michelle. The chart does not tell you that until the person who is the chart sits down in front of me and, ask them a few questions. Do I begin to understand how those archetypes are working?
Right.
So. It's a wide spectrum. Red is red pink, or is red nearly purple, or it's a wide range of a wide spectrum of expression. There's no mm-hmm. one way.
No, and like what you said earlier, the person bringing their consciousness,
exactly.
That is huge. Well, we're winding out of time. Go ahead.
I don't mean to interrupt you. Just briefly, there's another very large component of evolutionary astrology, and that is what Jeff Green called the stages of evolution, stages of consciousness. Mm-hmm. when we first come into the world, when we're first incarnate. We want to be like everybody else. Our security, the Pluto is the soul is security based. We our mother's womb is the safest place in the universe for us to land. So mm-hmm. we're all seeking security on some level in some fashion. And when we're new souls, when we're young souls, that security is to be like everybody else. We want to play the game. We want to learn how to play the game because it's a herd mentality. 70% of the people on the planet are in a herd mentality. It's why the world is the way that it is. As we move through that consensus state, and each of these stages has three different states in it, at the upper level of consensus state are the people running the world. They have figured out the rules. They're making the rules. The bankers, the kings, the popes, all of them, they're the ones in charge. But when we move all the way through that, and we all have, we say, isn't there something more? This can't be all that there is. And we begin to understand that we know that we're not like everybody else, that we embrace our diversity. And we begin to individuate. Mm-hmm. It's a Jungian principle, and it's about 20% of the people on the planet. We rebel. It's a Uranian archetype, and we rebel against that consensus. We rebel against the conformity, and we begin to create and individualize, new ideas, and eventually we understand that there's natural law. And that opposes man-made law, and we begin to what Jeff called spiritualize. It has nothing to do with religion. It's recognizing that mm-hmm. we're all connected, that we are that with the wave of the ocean, and that we're all in this together. There's only one of us on the planet. And when we begin to come to that, that becomes our consensus, then we will begin to move into that golden age again. And we've been there before, and we will be there again.
Wow. We will be there again. Oh, wow. Daniel, it's amazing. You've been a wealth of wisdom and information. It's just been a wonderfully awakening conversation with you. Those of you that are listening, our guest has been Daniel Fiverson, and you can find out more information about his work. He's got blogs as well, some articles. And if you would also even like a reading with him to get your chart done, you can go to 4evolutionaryastrology.com, and that's the number 4evolutionaryastrology.com. Wonderful, wonderful insights. Thanks so much, Daniel, for being on Awakenings.
Michelle, thank you. Blessings and prayers for peace.
Oh, thank you. Blessings to you. All right. Blessings to you, everyone. Thank you. We have some new listeners that were in the chat and saying that the chat was so wonderful. We have a wonderfully warm, loving, enlightened people, wealths of information as well. So thank you for that, for noticing that. And thank you, everybody, for joining us. Really, this has been a wonderful, wonderful program today. I've really enjoyed calling all the calls. And everybody in the chat just interacting, and those of you that are listening later by the archives, we're with you. You're with us too. So hope you can feel that warm, loving energy. Again, our guest was Daniel Fiverson. You can find out more information about him, as well as if you feel inclined to do some reading. I love evolutionary astrology. I love anything soul centered. And you could find out a lot about yourself through it. Of course, he talked about some books by Jeff Green, and the Pluto Volume 1 is really good, and also the stages of evolution that Daniel touched on. But again, Daniel Fiverson's website, 4evolutionaryastrology.com, and that's the number 4evolutionaryastrology.com. Thank you, everyone, for being here. You guys are such loves. Thanks for making my Wednesday extra special. We're here every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific time, where I will do readings at the first half of the program, or dream interpretation, all things soul, all things spiritual, metaphysical. We dive in to that, and you can do that just by calling in, or you can even ask questions in the chat. We do it as well. Some people email. All is good here. If you'd like more information about me, you can go to soulentrepreneurship.com. selfandlight.com, or you can go to soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com, and that's Soul Insights, the number 4spiritledliving.com. There's also my Navigating Your Greatest Soul Shift, the Daily Om course. So there's a lot of support. Join me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Join our Awakenings community on Facebook as well. So there's a lot of support, a lot of connecting. And like I said, we've got a great chat room, also known as the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room. And you can see why. It's really, we've got great people in there. So anyway, you guys enjoy your day. Enjoy the rest of the week, weekend, and I'll see you here next Wednesday. All righty.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, the number 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.